You're listening to the teaching ministry of Pastor Randy Castillo of Harvest Bible Church, Arizona, where the Word of God is taught and lives are being changed. Please feel free to visit us on the web at hbcaz.org. That's Harvest Bible Church, AZ. Now please, open your Bible, prepare your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
Yes, Lord, you are so great. Even the word great doesn't encapsulate all that you are. And Father, the way that we understand you loving us and caring for us, and Lord, the fact that you created us, and Lord, that you have a plan for each one of our lives. Lord, that we would empty ourselves of all pride, ambition. Lord, we would empty ourselves of greed. We'd empty ourselves of anything, Lord, that is not pleasing to you, so that we might be vessels fit for honor, Lord. That we would empty ourselves to receive all that you have, Lord. We can't be full of ourselves and then be full of you, Lord. It doesn't work. So help us, Lord. Help me. Help us, Lord, to just be what we were created to be, worshipers. Lord, and so Father, thank you for this time. And now, Lord, may your word just penetrate, Lord. May it ring loudly in our ears, but yet so gently that we walk away remembering the things that we hear tonight, that they would definitely be implanted into our hearts. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's children said,
amen.
Awesome. You may be seated. And if you would please open your Bible to 2 Samuel 19 as we continue, and we'll finish the chapter, I pray. If you need a Bible, the ushers will put one in your hand so you can follow along. 2 Samuel 19, and we made it as far as verse 23, so we will pick it up in verse 24, and I'm going to break our verses into three sections. 24 through 30 will be the love. 31 through 39 will be loyalty. And then we have legalism in 40 through 43. Now, just to get us up to speed, David's men defeated Absalom. Absalom being David's son. David gave specific orders, do not kill Absalom. They killed him. And then David mourns. David's men then feel very betrayed. Why? Because he's not praising them for the victory. He's mourning, and they're like, hey, you would rather have had us all die and your son live, so you better knock it off. And, of course, he did. He straightened up. He needed to come into reality and realize that that wasn't good for his men, because his men did what was right. Now, the throne is his. Absalom is now been defeated. And remember that Israel as a whole had anointed Absalom as king. So now the throne is empty, which brings David right back to where he was. But by the way, as far as God was concerned, he had never stopped being king. It was just the people, because in the scripture it kept referring to David as king. Now, he will not take his seat. He would not take his seat till all the people cried out for his return. And once again, I have to make the parallel, and we made the parallel last time we were here, that it's just like us. God will not take his rightful seat in our heart until we cry out and say that we want him. He doesn't force himself upon us. He doesn't force us to love him. He is totally a gentleman. But I love Revelation 22:17 that says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, let him who hears say, come. And so we see that that is what we should be doing. We will also see our very heart condition in these men, in a beautiful way, in a bad way, in a great way. We'll see both sides of the coin. Now, David was a great king. He's the greatest king Israel has ever known. He was a great warrior. He was a great leader. But he was a bad father and a bad husband. And we see this. And I love the fact that David is very human. It encourages me because, hey, you know what? I suffer from a lot of issues, just like anyone out there. And the only one who doesn't suffer from issues, you know, there may be some pastor out there, you know, great pastor, you know, Chuck Smith or my pastor or Greg Laurie or Billy Graham or whoever that you looked up to. Realize this, they're flawed. They're flawed. And so David, bad husband because he had many wives, bad father because he refuses to correct his kids, his boys. He refuses to deal with their sin. And of course, that's why war broke out. I ran across this cool quote. It says this, respect is learned, honesty appreciated, trust is gained, and loyalty returned. If only that were true. I mean, it sounds great, but in all honesty, so more often than not, as we look around, respect is not learned from a lot of people. Honesty isn't appreciated nowadays. Trust is not gained, and loyalty is not returned. It's supposed to be. All those things are beautiful sentiments, but as we look around at the world today, unfortunately, that's not the case. And always. There, except, here's the thing, except at HBC. Okay. Yeah, I'm glad. Okay, you laughed about that. Now, David's going to have some interesting encounters here as he returns through his throne. With the return of the king, often comes rewards. And we're going to see that. And I love this. Revelation 22:12 also says, and behold, I come quickly. Listen. And my reward is with me to give to every man according to his work shall be. So with God comes rewards. And I love that. You know, there's no reason why there should be rewards from God. I mean, the fact that we have salvation should be enough. And we're going to explore that quite a bit. But David is very gracious. Remember, we saw last time we were here in this study that Shimei came to him. Now Shimei, the son of, this is back in verse 18. Now Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king when he had crossed the Jordan. Then he said to the king, do not let my lord impute iniquity to me or return what wrong your servant did on that day that my lord, the king, left Jerusalem. And that the king shouldn't take it to heart. For I, your servant, know that I have sinned. Therefore, in verse 23, if you jump down, therefore the king said to Shimei, you shall not die. And the king swore to him. And we saw a picture of Christ. And we saw a picture of us when we come repentive. With a repentant heart, that God shows mercy. And David, being a king, returning to his throne, he brings that mercy as well. And I love Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so David is going to be dealing with people who are coming back to him. Everybody's wronged him, except the men that were with him. Why? Well, because remember, they made Absalom their king wrongfully. And basically, they were slapping David in the face. Almost everybody. There were some that didn't, and we'll see that. Let's look at the love as we now begin in verse 24 through 30. We'll look at love. Verse 24. Now Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king. And he had not cared for his feet, nor trimmed his mustache, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he returned in peace. So Mephibosheth didn't bathe, didn't care for his feet, dear God, didn't wash his clothes. he wasn't trying to punish David, okay? He wasn't like, okay, now that I haven't done this, come here, get close to me. He wasn't trying to, what he was, really what was going on is he was mourning. He was sad. He was heartbroken. At this point, realize this. Mephibosheth has lost everything. His stuff is gone. David gave it to Ziba. Remember Ziba, the servant? The guy who was the servant in Saul's house. And David said, hey, is there anyone left to Saul? And he says, yeah, me. And David goes, no, somebody else. And then he goes, well, there's one guy. You know, it's one answer, but he's lame. And remember, Mephibosheth is a product of the fall. And I love Mephibosheth because he is such a picture of you and I. We are broken. We are crippled. We are the product of the fall of a sin nature. And so Mephibosheth, he's lost everything at this point for doing nothing wrong, really. But isn't that the way life is, right? We lose stuff. People steal stuff. Governments take stuff, and they don't call it stealing. Disasters wipe out our stuff. Stuff breaks down. Stuff just gets old, and you need new stuff. But here, Mephibosheth, he's not mourning over the loss of his stuff. And I love that about him. Look at what verse 25. And so it was, when he had come to Jerusalem to meet the king said, pew! No, he met the king. The king said to him, why did you not go with me, Mephibosheth? Hey, why did you abandon me? Why is he saying this? Back in chapter 16, do me a favor, turn back there. Let me just refresh your memory. This Ziba guy, conniver. 2 Samuel 16 says, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met David with supplies. And Ziba said that Mephibosheth abandoned David. Now, here's what's sad. David listened to Ziba without hearing the other side. I've got to tell you this. You know why? I have seen time and time again pastors who do this huge error. What's the huge error? And by the way, as many pastors as I've seen error in this way, I've seen 100 Christians for every one pastor. Listen, if ever someone comes to you for counsel, okay, godly counsel, don't believe them. Take in what they're saying, but don't believe them. You don't go, I don't believe you. No, you don't do that. But you don't put all your stock in what they're saying. Until when? Until you get to hear both sides. Can you tap this down just a little bit? There was a ringing just a second ago. So it's right on the verge of ringing, the microphone. Thank you. It's right on the verge. So if you just tap it a little bit, we should be good. Okay. So here, David buys in to Ziba. He's like, hey, Mephibosheth, why did you abandon me? Well, that's not the case, as we're going to see. It's far from the situation. So can I tell you, even if you don't want to hear this, listen, when someone comes to tell you something, don't, here's what I do. Again, let me rephrase that. I was going to say it one way. Let me rephrase that. When someone comes to talk to me and I only have one half of the party, I don't even want to talk about what the other party did. Why? Because it's not going to be 100% accurate. So what do I talk about? The person who's in front of me. Well, how can you change? Well, it's not about me. No, it is, because you're the one in front of me. I make it about them. I don't really want to hear, well, they did this, because you know what's going to happen? It's going to taint me. It's going to taint me. So I'm going to go, no, you're in front of me. I can work with you. I can't work with them. They're not here. So let me encourage you, be careful. Huge, huge mistake that people just, oh, they did what? Well, how dare they? How could they do that to you? And it's like, they didn't. It was tainted. So here, David, classic mistake. And he answered, my lord, O king, my servant deceive me. See, Ziba, remember when Mephibosheth came into David's presence, David gave him all the stuff, and then he told Ziba, that conniver, he said, you and your sons are going to work for Mephibosheth. And he's like, the cripple? Yes, you're going to work for him. Well, he says, here Mephibosheth says, my lord, my O king, my servant Ziba, he deceived me. For your servant said, he says, I said this, I will saddle my donkey for myself, that I may ride on it and go to the king, because your servant is lame. So he says this, Mephibosheth says, look, I was going to saddle my own donkey. Even though I don't walk well and I have a real issue, I wanted to come to you so bad, I will put my own donkey, the saddle. But I have to ride on a donkey. I can't walk. I can't walk long distances. He says, because your servant is lame. And he has slandered your servant to my lord the king. So Ziba, what he did, what did Ziba come to David with? Donkeys full of equipment. So he said, no, Mephibosheth, I've got to take equipment. I've already got them loaded. I'm sorry, you can't go. He did that on purpose. He knew that Mephibosheth wanted to go. So he brings all these goodies to the king to butter him up, all while he was undermining and cutting short and just cutting off Mephibosheth. Why? Because he still wants Saul's inheritance. He wants it for himself. He says, and he slandered. He lied about me. But my lord the king is like an angel of God. Therefore, do what is good in your eyes. In other words, you know what? You know what, king? He lied about me. But if you want to believe him, you're godly. Do what seems right to you. I love his heart. His stuff disappears. And people disappoint. Isn't that true in life? Stuff disappears and people disappoint. And someone might say, well, Pastor Randy, you don't ever disappoint me. Just wait, I will. It's coming. And by the way, you will also disappoint me. But we would be gracious. Mephibosheth is like, you know what? Ziba, he's not saying, king, kill Ziba. He lied to you. He get even. He's just like, king, you know what? I trust your judgment. You're like an angel of God. And he loves his king. He puts full trust and dependency upon the king. So Mephibosheth at this point is depending on David's wisdom. Why? He's anointed by God. Now, I love David's response as well, kind of. But he's also, I got to love his graciousness. He's going to be gracious to all parties here. And that's our Jesus, isn't he? Listen, someone may... I'm going to tell you a little story. There was someone I knew that had this person talking about them in a bad way. But what they were saying about them was so ridiculous, I don't think anyone would believe this, what it was said about this person. Well, the person who was doing the talking ended up dying. And this person was being talked about came to me and said, see, he shouldn't have been talking about the Lord's anointed. And I'm like, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I'm thinking, what are you talking about? You think that because this person was saying something ridiculous about you that God killed him for you? Where's the grace of God? Nobody believed the guy. Nobody believed that you did any of these things. And even if they did, they obviously weren't your friends and they'd believe anything. But that's silly. Look, we're going to see David being an example of Jesus Christ here, and he's going to be fair to all parties involved. So Mephibosheth says, hey, king, I was wronged, but if you want to believe, hey, whatever you do, it's right. You can kill me, kill me. I'm just happy you're back. Verse 28 says, for all my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. In other words, listen, your king, when Saul died and you became king, you could have rightfully, because every other king would have done this, you could have rightfully wiped out all my family We were as good as dead men. Yet you set your servant among those who eat at your own table. Therefore, what right do I have to still cry out anymore to the king? Oh my gosh. Is that your heart? Is that your heart? See, when I think about God and how he loves me and how he has used me to any minuscule amount in ministry, I think about this. I was a dead man. I didn't believe in God. I was an atheist. I was actively fighting against God. And then what does he do? Not only does he forgive me, but then he uses me for his cause. And I'm going, God, whatever your judgment is, man, I deserve to be a dead man walking. We're all dead men before God. And yet, he spares us and he takes us to sit and eat at his table. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that beautiful? So, we have little reason to complain over any trouble in our life. Why? Because how much more reason do we have to rejoice over the love that God has shed upon our hearts and forgiving us and loving us, even though we don't deserve it? God had every right to wipe you and I off the face of existence, and yet he doesn't do it. Mephibosheth gets it. He may be lame, but he ain't stupid. He may be lame, but he's wise enough to know how gracious King David has been and that he's anointed of God. And I love this. He gives value to his king by his response and by his action. And it gets even better. Watch this, verse 29. So the king said to him, "Why do you speak any more of your matters? I have said, you and Ziba divide the land." David is saying, look. All right, Mephibosheth, take a chill pill, bro. Look, I don't need to hear all the details. It's great. So I got an idea. Look, I can't go back on my word. And I love that. David, even though Ziba lied, he's a liar. He's been a liar. He's been a conniver, right? And he said, "All right, Ziba, if Mephibosheth ripped me off, he doesn't want to back me. He abandoned me after all I blessed him. Fine, you take all the land." And Mephibosheth said, "I tried to come to you. I was going to, even lame, I was going to load my own donkey and come to you. But hey, Ziba took off with the donkeys. You know that. You saw them loaded down with stuff. And I'm telling you right now, I don't care what you do. I'm just glad you're here." And David goes, "Whoa, man, he's feeling conviction. I believe Ziba. But I already told Ziba that he could have. So here's what I'll do. I'll split the land between the two guys." There. Are you happy, Mephibosheth? You came. You wanted some land back. I gave you some land back. And that way Ziba can still have some land. He didn't have to do. He could have killed Ziba for lying to him. Or he could have killed Mephibosheth if he thought he was lying to him. Watch this. Verse 30. Then Mephibosheth said to the king, "Rather, let him take it all. Inasmuch as my lord, the king, has come back in peace into his own house." You know what? You know what, David? I don't want any of it. I just want you to be our king. If I got you as our king, I don't need all that land. I don't need all that stuff. Oh. Is that your heart? Is that my heart? It's on my heart to go, "God, I don't need all this stuff of this world. Take it all. Put me in poverty. And I'll be rich because you are seated on your throne." But that's not what we do, is it? We get in a financial crunch and all of a sudden, "God, you've abandoned me." Why? Because of money? Money? Whoa. Money has abandoned you. God hasn't. Stuff abandons us, but God doesn't. Mephibosheth is content to let the liar Ziba, who's supposed to serve him, have it all just so that he can have the king. He only wants to know that David is reigning. You know what? That we would be willing to let Satan have it all as long as we have our King. Far too often, we are more concerned about our rights than His rights. What are His rights? He made you. He paid for you. We are His. Yeah, but I need. You need. Really? So you're going to dictate to God. Because it's not enough to have Him. You also need A, B, and C. Otherwise, He's abandoned you. The Lord Jesus should be pleased and content to sit on the throne in our hearts. What does that mean? That means all I need is my King. Let everything else fade away, rust away, burn away, have the thieves come in and steal and moth destroy and rust destroy. Let it go. I've got the Lord Jesus Christ seated on the throne of my heart. I'm good. And you know what? If He deems right to take me out of this world today, it's good. Okay. Whatever the Lord's judgment. That's what Mephibosheth is saying. Why? Because he understood. He should have been dead a long time ago. But then then David says, come and sit at my table. Here, have some servants. Have all this stuff. And Mephibosheth, I'm a cripple. I was neglected. No one could care less about me. And you loved me with all your heart. See, that's the right perspective. Our heart should be Jesus first, Jesus only. Sometimes we say Jesus is first, but He's really not. We just tell ourselves that. We know that Jesus is first when we are pleased to have Jesus only. And by the way, what do you think God feels about that? How do you think God feels if you, in your heart, really say, God, I don't care about any of that stuff, just want you? If we are pleased with God, everything else is gravy. And when I thought about that, you know, in Texas, they make gravy out of everything. It's like that greasy water surrounding the turkey. It's like, oh, don't throw that out. It's good for gravy. Bacon grease. Oh, don't throw that out. It's good for gravy. Are you done with that cereal? Don't throw it out. It's good for gravy. It's like, but you know what? The reality is when you love Jesus, everything is gravy. It doesn't matter what it is. God can use it. If we have the right perspective, if we have value for our King. Let's look at the loyalty in verse 31 through 39. And Barzillai, that's there you go. That's Godzilla's little brother. The Gileadite came down from Rogalim and went across the Jordan with the King to escort him across the Jordan. Now, Barzillai was a very aged man, 80 years old. Now, I want you to understand here. God isn't saying that 80 years old is old to God. It's not. Why? Moses was 80 when God started using him. What he's telling us is some people age better than others. And this guy was an 80-year-old man who didn't age well. No facelift, no tummy tuck, no sunscreen. Probably looked like a piece of leather out in the desert. Okay, so this Barzillai is a very aged man. This is the Holy Spirit's way of telling us that he didn't wear well. Some people wear very well. You look at them and you're like, how old are you? Oh, I hope I look as good as you when I get to your age. This guy, you're like, oh, I hope I don't look like that when I get to his age. And he had provided the king with supplies while he stayed at Mahanaim, that place. Mahanaim. There you go, Mahanaim. For he was a very rich man. Now, he was a rich man with the right heart. He was a wealthy man, but he used his wealth to bless the kingdom work. David was the king, anointed by God. He recognized that. He didn't care who was anointed by the people. He knew David, and he brought supplies to David, and he was a rich man. And he says, you know what? My wealth is for a purpose. Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is. I'll go on to say where your service is, where your time is, where your talent is. Listen, you want to know what your God is, measure your time. How much time do you devote to God things, and how much time do you devote to worldly things? And of the worldly things, what do you spend most of your time on? And that's, there you go, that's indicator. Now, let me, except for job. We need to work. I mean, you know, it's like, well, then forget that. I'm just going to stay home and read my Bible. Forget job. No. We need to work. But I'm saying, other than your responsibilities that you cannot get out of, where do you spend the extra time you have? It's like, pastor told me to quit. I'm quitting. So I can, yeah. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, where you spend the time that you can freely choose what you do with it will determine where your heart is. Barzillai, his heart is with the king. He expresses his heart and what the king is worth to him with his life. He gives value to the king because he takes some of the resources that he has and he freely gives them without even being asked. He just says, you know what, here. I love that. Unlike Ziba. Ziba took resources. Remember, he's a servant. He took Mephibosheth's resources. They weren't his anyway. And he gave them to David with lies because he was trying to gain something. See, that's a completely different heart. Both men are still giving to God. One with the right, or giving to the kingdom purpose. Let me get that straight. David is a type of Christ. But they're giving to the king, one with a good motive and one with a rotten motive. But both of them are giving. From the outside, it would look like both these guys really have their heart for the king. But you look a little closer and you realize one gave nothing. It just looked like something. And the other gave a lot because it was a lot. It was the right heart. What about us? What does it look like on the inside when I give to the Lord? Not what it looks like on the outside. Not what it looks like if you put it down on paper and look at the amount. Because Ziba gave a lot. Ziba gave a lot. It was all on donkeys. It was not his. It didn't cost him anything. There was no sacrifice from him. But with Barzillai, there was a sacrifice. Verse 33. And the king said to Barzillai, come across with me. So he likes the guy. He's like, look, man, I like you. You love me. And it's obvious you love me. It's obvious. So come with me. I will provide for you while you are with me in Jerusalem. The Lord is saying the same thing to you and I today. Do you realize that? As we love the Lord with our lives, with our heart, with our time, our treasure, our resources, our talents, God says, you know what, come in. I love why you're doing this. I love your heart in doing this. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Some translations say, in Christ Jesus. I like that. In Christ Jesus. You have to be in Christ Jesus in order for you to be able to claim, my God will supply all my need. Notice there's no S on need, by the way. It's singular. What is my need? Salvation. That Christ would be on the throne. Mephibosheth encapsulates that. Mephibosheth says, hey, yeah, I don't need the land. I don't need the money. I don't need the servants. I just need you sitting on your throne, and I'm good. So, but my God shall supply all your need. Your need is for Christ to be enthroned on your heart. But he does that. He does that when you display your love for Him, and it's a genuine love. It's not any kind of love that you have to muster up or that you're having a desire for other people to look at you and say, well, they really love the Lord. No. The only one that matters is God, that He knows you love Him. Verse 34. But Barzillai said to the king, how long have I to live that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? So not only does he look aged, but he's feeling it. He says, today, well, it's his birthday. Today, 80 years old. Can I discern between good and bad? Yes, you can. He's a humble guy, He really plays himself down, but obviously he could discern between good and bad. He didn't follow Absalom, but he did follow David, so yes, he can. Can your servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Now, that may be true. Man, he's really burnt out if he can't taste. Can I hear any longer the voice of singing men and singing women? So his hearing was going. Yeah. Why then should your servant be a further burden to my lord, the king? And he's like, man, David, I love you. I'm glad I got to see you. But I'm getting old. I'd love to come with you. I don't want to be a burden to you. I'm just pleased that you're back. What awesome. Your servant will go a little way across the Jordan with the king. And why should the king repay me with such a reward? He's not doing this. He didn't come. I love this. Barzillai didn't come like Ziba. He's not coming looking for a pat on the back or a reward. He just came to see the king. He gave to the king out of a right heart and out of a motive of not out of a motive of self-exaltation. He's not looking to exalt himself. He's not looking to gain anything. He's not looking for... Now, let's look at these two guys, though. Mephibosheth, what does he have? Nothing. But his heart is for the king. Barzillai, what does he have? A lot. And his heart is for the king. I love how the Holy Spirit puts these two guys together. And then, of course, you have Ziba. He has nothing. But he looks like he has a lot because he took someone else's and gives it as an offering, and it isn't even his to give. So what? Three people. Three examples. This is three examples of three different hearts in the kingdom. All three of these guys are Jews. All three of these are in the kingdom, but all three of them have different hearts. Which heart are you? Are you Mephibosheth who has nothing, but you're okay because you go, I've got the king, and that's enough for me. And if he wants to take me today, take me tomorrow, take me next week, it's all good. He's king. He knows what he's right. Are you Barzillai? You have a lot to offer the Lord, and I'm not talking about just money. I'm talent, treasure, time. You have a lot. Are you giving it to him, going, you know what, it's all yours anyway? Or are you Ziba? Giving only what you can muster from someone else. Nothing that's going to be a sacrifice. Which one do you think, which ones are more pleasing to the king? The ones who love him. And he says, look, just come with me. Imagine, I just imagine being David and having Mephibosheth tell me that he was lied about by his servant, and David going, wait a minute, that servant brought me a bunch of stuff. He stole that from his master, and he tricked me, and I believed him. But look at this. You know what? I'll give you half. Can you imagine his face or his heart when Mephibosheth said, I don't want any of that. King, I'm just glad you're here. I didn't bathe. I didn't cut my mustache. I didn't wash, take care of my feet. I did nothing. I was so depressed because my king wasn't on the throne. Wow. David's heart must have melted in his chest. I wonder if Jesus feels that way when we just go, God, I don't care. I don't care what I lose. I don't care what happens. I'm so glad you saved me. I'm so glad that I belong to you, that you are my king. I don't have the wrong king anymore. I don't have the wrong king anymore. You know how amazing that is? That's what Mephibosheth, he says, I had Absalom as a king. I didn't want him as a king. Verse 37. Please let your servant turn back again, that I may die in my own city near the grave of my father and mother. Smart guy, watch this. But here is your servant Chimham. Let him cross over with my lord the king and do for him what seems good to you. You want to bless someone? Chimham, my son. He's young. He's got a whole life ahead of him. Why don't you take Chimham with you? By the way, who doesn't like ham? Come on. I'm sorry. That was weak. That was so weak. It was so bad, but I did it. Okay? I did it. Sue me. All right? Pastor, you just let me down. You said you were going to do it. But he says, if you want to bless, bless my son. 1 Kings, we'll see this when we get to 1 Kings very, very soon. Chapter 2, verse 7, it says this. Where when David was dying, he said, show kindness to the son of Barzillai. David always keeps his word. You know what? He fails in this. He fails in that. He fails all the world. But man, when David said, I promise you, you will not die. He goes, you know what? Even though you lied to me, I told you I'd give you land. Fine, I'm going to give you half of the land. But Barzillai was a very wise man. He understood that his service, that his wealth, that his life was meant to be a blessing for others. He's like, hey, you know what? David wants to bless my life because of what I did. Well, let me pass that on to somebody else, my son. Huh. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to bless you abundantly. That's Barzillai. He was blessed abundantly. So that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound, listen to this, in every good work. If the Lord has given you time, it's time for you to give back and bless others. If the Lord has given you talent, it's so that you can use it to bless. If he's given you funds, it's so that you can. If he's given you wisdom, whatever it is, it's not for us to hoard. Let's say I had a lot of talent. Yeah, right. Let's say I had a lot of talent, right? And I just kept it to myself. Then I go up to heaven and God goes, you know, hey, what'd you do with the talent I gave you? Well, I kept it to myself, kept it safe. And God's, oh, no, you don't understand. I gave you the time, treasure, talents so that you could be a blessing. Unfortunately, in modern churches, we have too many people who come to church acting like guests when they are called to be hosts. We're called to be hosts. We're called to host. We're called to serve. We're called to be a blessing for others. But that's not what people want to do. People want to come and they're looking for creature comforts. They got their church menu out. Let's see, what's on the menu at this church? Well, that church over there has more features on the menu. It's like, great. Okay, go there. Get plugged in. Begin to serve and be a blessing to others. Otherwise, you're a sponge taking in and soaking up and never getting wrung out. We talked about this before. You get a sponge that never gets wrung out, and you go to use it one day, and it's like, woo, what's that smell? But you get a sponge that's used constantly, and it keeps that freshness. Gets wrung out, gets used, gets wrung out, gets used. That's what we are supposed to be. But too many people are just these sponges that just take in, and become moldy. The moment, hear me on this. The moment we realize and answer the call of God, our faith will begin to grow. That's God's purpose. It's God's purpose in calling us and using us is so that we will grow, not to be stagnant. The moment we answer the call, our spiritual lives will begin to grow. Listen, you could have grown. Maybe you've been walking with the Lord a long time and you're like, man, I've grown. I look back, I've seen how much I've grown. Yeah. But have you stopped? And by the way, David, the king, has returned here. He has returned. When the king returns, he will reward us according to the value we gave to our king. Listen, understand this. You and I could do the exact same thing, and it can be more valuable to God when you're doing it than when I'm doing it. Why? Because of the heart. Because of the heart. And by the way, I posted something on Facebook because of this study, and I said this. We are all to do all things as unto the Lord. Colossians 3:23, Ephesians 6:7. We are to do all things to excellence, to the glory of God. Ecclesiastes 9:10 and 2 Chronicles 31:21. But if we do something with excellence. Now, I want you to know this. Excellence is subjective. So you may do something to excellence, and I may do something to excellence, and it'll look completely different. It's based on what we can do, based on who we are and the abilities we have. But if we do something with excellence, God is not impressed. He doesn't go, wow! Did you see what Randy did? Holy. No, he's like, he did it with all his heart. God isn't impressed. He's pleased. And we aren't just blessed. We're fulfilled. When I do something for the Lord and with the Lord and by the strength of the Lord with all my heart, not only is it a blessing, but I feel fulfilled. It's amazing. When I do things, I can get up there on a Sunday and teach and walk away and feel empty. Or I can get up there on a Sunday and teach and do it with all my heart, and I put all of my effort in it, and I've done everything I can, and I've prayed over it and everything, and I come down and I'm like, oh God, what a great day in the Lord. Same person, same activity, two different days with two different hearts. And so we're called to do that, folks. And here we have one guy that has nothing, and he's just whatever the Lord wants. We got another guy with a lot, and he's like whatever the Lord wants. And we got another guy who robs and is conniving. And it on the outward, probably all David's men said, wow, look at the offering this guy brought. Verse 38. And the king answered Chinhem, shall cross over with me. And I will do for him what seems good to you. Now, whatever you request of me, I will do for you. Then all the people went over. Notice it doesn't tell us what. Of course, he wanted a blessing for his son. Then all the people went over the Jordan. And when the king had crossed over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him. And he returned to his own place. By the way, this was an interesting little tidbit. Jeremiah 41:17 says this. They departed. Jeremiah 41:17 says they departed and dwelled in the inhabitation of Chinhem, which is by Bethlehem, to go and enter into Egypt. Now, it is believed that Chinhem opened a cattle vanzeri in Bethlehem. And you say, what's a cattle vanzeri? A cattle vanzeri is an inn. And it's not like we think, you know, a Red Roof Inn or Holiday Inn. No, no, no. Cattle vanzeri was this. If you had cattle or you had sheep, you would go to the cattle vanzeri. It was an open square on the bottom. It was closed like a barn, but it was open square. All the animals would go in there, and then all the shepherds would climb up the ladder, and there would be a loft up around, all the way around, and that's where you would sleep. You're overwatching. So when you say, you know, they were looking for a room at the inn, we think, oh, a bed, you know, an alarm to wake you up in the morning. No, no, no. It was a cattle vanzeri is all it was. And so it's believed that Chinhem opened a cattle vanzeri and that it would pass it down to generation. And since it was right there in Bethlehem, that it may be the very one that Mary and Joseph couldn't get into because it was full. Just a side note, just something for you to chew on. Tidbit of information. All right, 40 that I came across. Let's look at the, legalism. We'll get through this. Verse 40 through 43. Now the king went to Gilgal, and Chinhem went on with him, and all the people of Judah escorted the king, and also half the people of Israel. Just then, all the men of Israel came to the king and said to the king, "Why have our brethren, the men of Judah, stolen you away and brought the king, his household, and all of David's men with him across the Jordan?" What? I don't know. How about the fact that you anointed another king, his son, who isn't rightfully the king, and you didn't come calling when you heard Absalom was dead? David waited to say, "Hey, where are you guys at?" In other words, they're saying this: "Hey, they weren't for you. They were the last. So why are they escorting you? Why are we being excluded? Why are you showing favoritism?" He's not. Verse 42, "So all the men of Judah answered the men of Israel, 'Because the king is a close relative of ours.'" Oh, man, wrong answer. Wrong answer. You ever meet someone who likes to name drop? It's like, "Well, you know, hey, my relative is, you know, Richie Cunningham from Happy Days." It's like, I just had to name another ham guy. I'm sorry. Gosh almighty. Lord, have mercy. See, and he still uses me. Okay, so anyways, "Because the king is a close relative of ours, why then are you angry over this matter? Have we ever eaten at the king's expense? Or has he given us any gift? Why do you care? We're not mooching off him. Besides, he is of our tribe. We're relatives." Now, last time we were in this chapter, we saw that in verse 11, so King David sent Zadok and Abiathar the priest, saying, "Speak to the elders of Judah, saying, 'Why are you the last to bring back to his house, since the words of all Israel have come to the king, to his very house? You are my brethren. You are bone of my bone and my flesh. You are my bone and my flesh. Why then are you the last to bring back the king?'" So these were the last guys to respond. And David is right now real close with them. Yeah, they're relatives, but that I see more a picture of Jesus here. He goes for the base things, the low things, the least things, the last things. "I am the last of the last. I am the bottom of the barrel." And so this is a political move. Honestly, though, at the same time, if we take out the picture of Christ, this is also a political move on both parties. This competitive attitude between Judah and the 10 northern tribes is going to set the stage for civil war in David's day and eventually to divide the nation in two. Verse 43. "And the men of Israel answered the men of Judah and said, 'We have 10 shares in the king. Therefore, we also have more right to David than you.'" Okay, now it's like we're more. We're the majority. Now they're fighting over the king that they ousted. Isn't that the way people are, though? You know, one moment, you know, you're a shooting star, and the next moment you fall, and they're like, "Oh, we don't want nothing to do with you." Then you rise to fame again, and all of a sudden everyone wants to be your friend. "Why then do you despise us? Were we not the first to advise to bring back our king?" Now it's like, "Well, we wanted him back first. Well, you chose him last. You're..." It's childish. You guys were the last to want David. Look, jump forward. Okay, here's this bickering, okay? Jump forward to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 2,000 years or so, a little more forward. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. "And I, brethren, do not speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnal, as babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food? For until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able. Watch this. For you're still carnal. For where there is envy, that's what we got. Strife, that's what we got. Division among you. Are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For one says, I'm of Paul. Another, I'm of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believe, as the Lord gave each one. I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his labor. According to his labor, that's what our reward comes from. This is a byproduct there. Verse 9, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. Verse 16, do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Therefore, let no one boast in men. For all things are yours, whether Paul, Apollos, Cephas, or the word of life, or the word, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come are all yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's. So, back 2,000 years, you got them bickering over, hey, King David's ours. He's our family. We caught him first. You didn't bring him. They're bickering. Jump forward 2,000 years or so, and you got the Corinthian church bickering. Jump forward another 2,000 years to today. And what do you get? Bickering. Listen, people leave churches. If I'm teaching the wrong doctrine, go and take everybody you can with you. But if you don't like, because I make too many jokes, I'm sorry, can't help it. If you don't like it because it's too convicting, I'm sorry. If you don't like it because I'm preaching the truth and it's hard to swallow, I'm sorry, I can't help it. If you're leaving because you couldn't get your way, humble yourself. We have to be careful. Because Paul says, listen, if there's strife, if there's envy, if there's division, you are being carnal, fleshy. And it's sad. And it's heartbreaking. And that's in every church deals with this. And here, 4,000 years, and nothing has changed. Ecclesiastes is so right. There's nothing new under the sun. Let's look at the last verse. Don't close your minds yet. Let the words of the men of Judah, yet the words of the men of Judah were fiercer than the words of the men of Israel. Wow. So they got heated. They got in their face. They were more persuasive. Not good. Not good. Sometimes people say, I'm going to give that brother a piece of my mind. Wow, what a small piece that's going to be. How about you go? And I have to catch myself because I'm a piece of my mind kind of guy, but sometimes I have to stop and go, you know what, Lord, you just deal with this. You just deal with this. When this kind of stuff happens, It's devaluing the king. It's taking value away from our king. So let's do this. Let's set our affections, let's set our perspective, not on the provision, but on the person. Not on the kingdom, but the king. Not on the blessings, but the giver. The king is back, even though the people had anointed another king. And there are those who come to David and said, I don't care. I just love you and I'm glad you're back. I'm going to share with you some words, the lyrics of a song that I heard recently. I found it in my YouTube channel and I was like, oh, it made me cry. I mean, it's a powerful song. But let me read these words to you in this context. It's called I Adore You. It says, I adore you, I adore you. No one in this world I love more. And it says, it's a mystery that the maker of the universe calls me his own. And it amazes me that the one who lets me wander away always leads me home. I adore you. I adore you. No one else in this world that I love more. Give the King the right worth in your life. Not for us to see, but for him to know. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you so much that you value us. And you've proven it with your life. You gave everything. You gave your only begotten Son. And Lord Jesus, you laid down your life for us, for me. And you did it while we were yet your enemies. And you still are gracious to us. And Holy Spirit, that you would desire to reside in such a cold, dirty heart, Lord. Thank you that it's been washed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Lord, that we can come and be cleansed over and over with that cleansing agent that was offered. And when we confess our sins and ask for forgiveness, that we can go to the washing of the water of the Word and get all those little specks of dirt and dung off of our life. And Father, that we can come and see the light of the world that shines brighter than all the shiny things in this world. And so, Father, help us to be focused. Help us to be right. Help us to know what it is that will please your heart. And so, Father, thank you that we now have the right King enthroned on our hearts. Lord, we love you. And we praise you and honor you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all God's children said,
amen.
God bless you. Let's stand.